Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Father, we just thank you tonight. I know that tonight is going to be different. I feel like you said it'll probably be different than anything we've done in a long time, maybe ever. I feel like this is your service. I felt like I was supposed to call it your service, not ours, and to give you full liberty and get out of the way. Sometimes we say give him full liberty, but we don't get out of the way. But I'm endeavoring to give him voice. He was reminding me this week of something that happened. You know, we all have various types of encounters with God in our lives. And, you know, there's encounters and then there's encounters. And, of course, we want all that we can get from him. But in the 90s, I had come out of a very difficult time in my life, and I was sitting in a very spirit-filled meeting. It was very, very large. There was probably 2,000-3,000 people there, and there was just no room anywhere except way in the back. So I was probably just a couple of seats from the very back. And then we were just worshiping, and the presence in this place was magnificent. And as I sat there, I had the strangest feeling that my chair was going up. Now, that sounds strange, but it felt just like if you've ever ridden a ski lift. Now, that's happened to me twice in my life. And in this particular encounter, God showed me some things as a vision, okay? But I knew as I, there were some things, some visions you just understand right away. Some things it took some years to unfold for me to really get what God was saying. But as I share, I'm only going to share pieces of it. But what I'm going to share is for the body, which means all of us. It's for every person, whosoever will. Whosoever, that means whosoever wants, whosoever's hungry enough. And so in this, I was taken up, and there were some things that happened. I was crying out for certain people in my life. There was two people in my life that needed funding. They really needed finances, and I had been praying for them. And I was taken, it seemed almost as though I went into some corner of heaven and went down the street into a building. And in this building, there was an angel there, and he was like the, I don't know if you would say curator, but he met with me, and I said, I've been concerned about these two people. And he actually pulled out this album and showed me their pictures and said, are these the two? And I said, those are the two. And he handed me, now this is all in the spirit, but it's a vision, and he handed me this large stack of money for them. And now this is all in the spirit. Okay, and he said, if you need more, just let me know. I want you to tell you, this is not what I'm talking about tonight, but that's how easy things are in the kingdom. For us to try to figure it out in the natural is kind of a flop, isn't it? But if we can go into the place where God is, it becomes much easier. He then gave me some things. Now, this part, I really feel, is about the body of Christ. Now, remember, this was, well, 25, 26 years ago. But I'm now seeing, I believe, the timing of the Lord on some of this. He put five things into me that were giftings. Remember, we're talking about the body. They were giftings and callings and ministries, gifts of the Spirit, but they were so heavy, I was not strong enough to carry them. I could not carry them. My flesh wasn't able. And so I had to sit in a chair. It was just too weighty. And if you've ever heard the expression, the weight of his glory, if you've ever been under a strong presence, there's a heaviness, a wonderful, glorious heaviness, where some people will describe it as they couldn't pick up their arm, you know. Well, this was like I just didn't have the strength to carry what he was giving me. Again, remember, this is for all of us. I was so unable to carry it, and yet I knew these five things were extremely important, and I knew that they were gifts and callings that would help the people of the earth, both Christians and unbelievers, to come in as the body would walk in these, but I also knew we needed strength. Now, here's what I want to get to. The angel had to help me because I didn't have the strength, and this angel helped me come go out of the office and down the street about two blocks, and when I got about what we would call two blocks, I saw a picture. Now I'm looking at the two people, right? I'm looking at the weak bride with the gifts who's too weak to stand, and I'm looking at Jesus. Now, Jesus is wearing a helmet. It looks like a warrior's helmet, but he's still wearing his robe, not full armor. He has a golden sash, and he's wearing sandals. Now, that's important for a reason. In a moment, like 1 second, several things happened at once. One of the things that happened was the woman, suddenly she was in a seated position in some kind of, not what anything in our world would call a wheelchair, but it was some kind of thing that the angel had to push her in to get her to this place. She suddenly had strength to stand. She was standing. She was dressed exactly like Jesus. In fact, you couldn't tell who was who if you didn't know who was who. But here's what was really strange. They changed places. She was standing where he had been standing, looking like him, dressed like him, prepared like him, and strong like him. He was standing where she had been. Now, there were some things about that I understood right away, but there were some things that it took a couple of years for it to sink in as I would pray and press in about the different gifts and about what God was doing. But what God did was call this an exchange. And what he began to tell me, I actually believe that this is not a different approach to Christianity. I believe this is the approach to Christianity that Jesus actually taught. I believe throughout the Word he showed a different, completely different lifestyle and an approach to following God, serving God, and doing the works of God. But because we have earth filters, it's been hard for us to pick it up. This exchange causes the bride, this is the upshot of it, we are to be seated in heavenly places in Christ, according to the Word, with our affections set upon things above. Seated in heaven, that was the exchange, whereas Jesus is to be on the earth, moving through our body, flowing through us, doing works that our flesh could never do. So the exchange happens, and what God has shown me over the years, we can't have one without the other. We cry out, oh, Jesus, use me. Jesus, flow through me. Jesus, Holy Spirit, help me raise the dead. Help me heal the sick. Help me do all the great stuff. Help me flow in the gifts of the Spirit. I want to prophesy, and I want to hear. But in fact, to do the second thing, that's the second thing, we have to learn how to do the first thing. We have to learn how to be seated in heavenly places, having our affections set on things above and not on the earth beneath. And so there's this radical change of the way we do Christianity. And Jesus actually said it clearly, but because of the filters on all of our ears, you know, it takes a while for this stuff to sink in. It's taken years, and I'm still getting a clue. But the more that I get, the bigger the flow, okay? The more that I get an understanding of how this works, the stronger the flow that flows out to people in need. Because it's not about us. We're just the go-between. It's about the people in need and Jesus Christ. It's about him connecting with his people through you and me, through us. And if our focus is me, 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 and my deal, my deal, my deal, and my life and my heart and my hurts and my house and all that stuff, that's not wrong to ask God for that stuff, and he loves to bless his kids. But if that's your whole point in life, you're missing the point in life. And so what Jesus showed me is that if we will make a custom or a practice or an art out of living with him in the heavenly places and learning how to do that, he will do the same through us. He will manage things through us. So how do I know that? He was talking in John, I believe John 14, I think it's about 14:10, and he said, the works that I do, he said, it's the Father in me that does them. This is a huge key. Now think about how in the world would the Father be in him? He's the one that said, our Father who art in heaven. If the Father art in heaven, how is the Father in him doing the works? Well, in another place, remember where he said that he was talking to the disciples. He said that they will come and they'll drag you before governors and kings. Don't worry about what to say. The Spirit of the Father in you will give you the words. The same Spirit that he was operating by or that was operating through him, you know, the New Agers would say channel. I'm not a New Ager. There's only one Spirit that we should ever allow to flow through us. But if we can get to a place where that's what we do, right? If we can get to a place where we can allow the Holy Spirit to speak what he wants, when he wants, where he wants, and stop trimming it. Stop making it palatable. Stop softening it or adding to it or forming it through our doctrine, PU, right? Because none of us know anything. That's the truth. You know, it's good to study, but I'm going to tell you something. Next to God, we don't know too much. And Jesus was showing us a method by which he raised the dead, healed the sick, opened blind eyes. Think about what the blind man said. In the history of the world, it has never been done that a man born blind received his sight. Jesus is essentially telling us, here's how you do it. And the method of Christianity that we've done is to try to do it for him in our flesh, which has no ability. Our flesh doesn't have, your flesh doesn't have the ability to live godly. Paul said, in my flesh dwells no good thing. And so what we try to do, because I think, to be honest, religion told us this, right? Well, be good and act good and be nice and make nice and do all this stuff. And we were like, well, okay, but I'm failing miserably. But see, Paul had a revelation when he said, in my flesh dwells no good thing. If I'm going to forgive somebody, my flesh isn't going to do that very well. The only way it's going to do that is for the Father in me to forgive through me. If I'm going to speak and proclaim a healing, the only way that's going to happen is for the Father in me by the power. Who's the Father in me? The Holy Spirit. How is he doing it? Because we are growing in tandem. We grow to become more and more one with the Holy Spirit until we are moving in tandem with him more and more and more. It's a journey. I like to say this, there is no there. Oh, we're there, I have it now. No, it doesn't work that way. Imagine it this way. I think a lot of Holy Ghosters believe that once you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's it, you've got it, that's it. No, I don't think so. Because it talks a number of times throughout the New Testament where it would say Peter suddenly being filled with the Spirit said. Well, he was already filled with the Spirit, wasn't he? But there were times when it was like the Spirit would, you know, just almost like catch him unawares and speak a thing, right? Not just once, but several times. So imagine it. So I think there are some people who imagine there's one infilling and then you operate out of that. But I think what the Lord has shown me is think about the Holy Spirit. How does he can manifest any way he wants. He's the breath of God. That's his name, the Ruach. He's breath. So he can form into a pillar of cloud. He can form into a pillar of fire. And I contend, this is my belief, that Jesus released 100% of Holy Ghost availability to every person on earth. But we will or will not be born again, will or will not give him lordship, will or will not seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit, will or will not go further in him. And I guess what I'm saying is it's up to us how far we walk into the cloud. And I'm going to tell you there's a place where you can walk into the cloud of his presence and you speak and it ain't you. Right? And as we pray and as we fast and as we press in, we're coming into a place of ministering out from him, or really, more correctly, him ministering through us. Jesus said in the book of John, whosoever believes on me, the works I do, will he do also. Well, that could only be if we learned how to let the Holy Spirit flow through us, build through us, speak through us, prophesy through us, give words of knowledge through us. And so the art of it, it's not that we're to ask, oh, Jesus, give me more. No, I believe he's already given what he's going to give. The onus is on us. How far do we want to go? How much do we want? How far will we press in? How much of a price will we pay? Oh, I don't want to pay a price. Well, you know, there is some things required of us too. Now, Jesus has done it and it's free, but casual observers won't walk in it because it's a lifestyle. And what God is saying is that this is for all of his members, all of his body. And the reason we're talking about this tonight is we are at a moment in time in eternity. And with all the stuff that's going on in the world, it has one of Satan's purposes with all that is to try to get our eyes focused on what's going on the world. But what did he say? Set your affection on things above, not on the earth beneath. You know why? Because that alone will keep you in the flesh by definition. If you're constantly focused, and there are some things God may give you to do in the earth, right? He may tell you how to vote a certain way or to even lobby a certain way. That's okay as long as it's God and you're in him. But what happens is Satan's trying to draw our focus. He's trying to steal our eyes and our ears and our mouth and our guts. He's trying to take our focus out of heaven. His number one goal, listen, the number one goal that Satan has is to separate you from the presence of God. Why does Satan care if you sin? He doesn't care if you sin. What does he care? He doesn't care. The reason he wants you to sin is so he can take a baseball bat and beat you about it and say, you can't go in the presence, you're not worthy. Well, he's a born liar. Jesus said so. He said the truth is not in him. He's a father of lies and the truth is not in him. So what Satan wants is for you to get involved with self-doubt, self-hatred, self-condemnation, beat yourself up, oh, I can't go in. That is all a demon talking. It took me a long time. God had to deliver me from a stronghold of guilt and condemnation. And I thought it was just the way I believed, and I thought it's the way God. It's a demon. It's a stronghold. And when I got free, God had to retrain my thinking. He had to talk to me for 2 years to get my head, you know, straight. God loves his children. And guess what? Here's a newsflash. He already knows we're a screw up. He already knows our flesh stinks. So I know some of you heard me talk about this, but I feel like usually I talk about this in the framework of so that you know your identity. But today we're going to talk about this in the framework of how to allow God to flow through you, okay? So I think I pretty much know everybody in here. I believe you're all born again. The whole idea of being born again, it wasn't just so you could be forgiven and receive all the blessings of heaven, although that's awesome. It was that you were literally recreated. And here's what God was doing. He saw that our flesh, every one of us, if your name isn't Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you were born in sin and so was I. And our natural tendency is sin. And it says through that one man, Adam, death passed on all men. What is death? Separation from God. Separation from his presence. Doubting everything you do. Remember, God didn't leave the garden. After sin, God didn't leave the garden. He came to do his fellowship, his communion every day. He knew good and well what happened. God knew what happened. Adam, where are you? Oh, you know, I couldn't face you. It's Adam that had the issue because he was dealing with sin. He knew he'd done wrong. Do you see it? Do you see that? It's our nature, our flesh nature. I'll say it that way. So what God did was bypass the entire system. He didn't just say, okay, you're forgiven if you believe in the blood and the cross. He bypassed the entire system. He outsmarted Satan and said, I'm going to make a whole new you. The Bible calls it your born-again spirit. It calls it the new wineskin. It calls it the new self, the new you, the real you, by the way. All your mistakes, that's not you. In you, the Bible says, you have this treasure in an earthen vessel. When he gave you a born-again spirit, the Bible says to you, put on the new self, which is created after the image of his holiness. If you could look inside your mortal body, which has its flaws, look past your personality and your thoughts, which have flaws, and your emotions, which have flaws. Look past all the flaws and look inside. You will see, if you could see in the spirit, you could see a born-again spirit which shines like a bright light. It is holy. It is made after the image of his holiness. It is holy. And once you understand that that's who you are, and this other stuff is stuff we just overcome. It's the old man that we're supposed to reckon it dead. Because it says that the flesh, well, the King James is the flesh lusteth after the spirit and the spirit lusteth after the flesh. And the two are contrary to one another so that we can't do the things we want. Well, the New Living is probably a better translation. It says that the flesh has desires that are in the opposite. They're the opposite of the spirit. And the two are opposite. Have you ever noticed? It's like there's two you, right? There's the old man and the new man. I want to do it. No, you don't. I do it too. No, you don't. Right? Come on. Have you ever dealt with it? Of course you have. Paul did too. Oh, wretched man I am, that he said, you know, that's what he said. Wretched man, who will rescue me from this body of sin? The flesh, the soul. Now, I know this will be review for some of you good students, but your soul is not the same as your spirit man. In Hebrews, it says that the word of God is alive. It's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Your spirit man is your born-again spirit, which is holy. Your soul is we might call it your personality, your mind, your will, and your emotions, in combination with your flesh, your physical body. So you can see why there's trouble, right? You know that in the Old Testament, the Bible says, don't prophesy out of your own soul. A lot of people try to prophesy out of their soul. In the Old Testament, you were going to get stoned for that, because what it was is you were figuring out what you thought people ought to hear, by golly, and you convinced yourself it was God, and you prophesied it was totally not God. Good thing we're not in the Old Testament. We'd have to stone you. Because if, here's the thing, we have to learn how to discern the difference between our flesh, our soul, our mind, our thoughts, our doctrine, our intellect, our will, hello, our will, there's a big stinker, and our emotions. We have to learn to discern between that and the spirit man. Now, why does he call it a new wineskin? Because you can't pour new wine in an old wineskin. So you must, he said, you must be born again. Unless a man is born again, he can't even see the kingdom of God. Why? Because the kingdom of God is where? It's in the spirit. God is spirit, right? You know the scriptures. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in the spirit and in truth. You can't, your flesh doesn't commune with God very well. And some of you say, well, I don't hear God. That's why. It's not that God isn't talking to you. He talks to everybody. God's talking all the time, but we have to learn how to stop trying to get it in our intellect, in our earthly ears, in our soul, man, in our emotions. People think a Holy Ghost experience is an emotional experience. It is not. It's something that happens on the inside. Your flesh may react, but different people will react differently because their flesh is different. Their personality is different. I'm a quiet drunk. Those of you who don't know, you know, it says these men are not drunk as you suppose. They're filled with the Holy Ghost. Did you ever meet a really loud Holy Ghost drunk? And then there's a really quiet, I'm the one off in the corner going, bleh, you know, when the Holy Ghost comes on me strong, as I leave me alone, hallelujah. I love you, but go away. You know, whereas Edgar would have been like, yahoo, you know, gather around, I got something to tell you. You know, just different people respond differently to the weight of his glory. But what I believe Jesus was telling us, he wasn't saying, I'm the Son of God, look at what I'm doing. He was saying, listen, boys, this is how you do it. He said, the Holy Spirit is with you, but he will be in you. The works that I do, will you do also? Greater works than these will you do. How? By the Spirit of the Father, the Holy Spirit that will be in you. Here's how. The reason the apostles did such phenomenal works wasn't because they were the first 12 or the great apostles and then it passed away. It's because they lived with him for 3 years and they got an understanding of how it works and how to flow in the Spirit and how to hang out in the glory realm instead of here. If we're trying to solve our problems intellectually, everywhere I go, people have problems and struggles. And the vast majority of the time, it's because they're trying to fix them in the flesh, pray in the flesh, beg God after the flesh. And that's it's a failing system because it's not the system. It's the wrong system. It doesn't work. It never has. And the reason the apostles bypassed the systems is they lived with Jesus long enough to know how to enter God's world. He said, come boldly to the Holy of Holies. See, there's ever a vapor before God's throne. If you could see God's throne, where's this? And he said to come here. He said it is your legal covenant right to dwell in that place. Speak from that place. Preach from that place. Prophesy from that place. Did he just mean a few people? No. Every believer. Every single believer. And when God was teaching me, he said, I want you to learn in your prayer closet. And you speak what I speak. You say what I say. You focus on it. And I'm like, even if I'm alone, he said, yes, because I want you to do this until it's what you do. I want it to become as normal to you as breathing. So that if you can preach to a gang on the street or the President of the United States, it won't matter who it is. If it's the Queen of England, you won't be, I'm supposed to bow. You'll just be like, here's what the Lord says to you. God wants to rearrange the way we see following Jesus. He wants to rearrange the way we see discipleship. He wants to rearrange, first of all, if you get to know the person in you, if you come to understand who you are in the realms of God, if you could see you in the Spirit, if we could see each other, we would be stunned, first of all, at the level of light that you're carrying. If you could look in a Holy Ghost mirror and not see all the stuff, not see all the emotions and all the stuff. You could see your born-again spirit with all thought, all that stuff. You would be shocked at the level of light that you already have by covenant right simply because you're his kid. A child looks like his parent. You were made in the image of God. See, God made Adam in his image. Did he not say so? Let us make man in our image. Man's image changed. Our understanding was darkened. The foundation of the whole earth is out of course. The whole world lies in darkness. That all happened at the fall. Everything was messed up, and especially what was messed up was our capacity to even understand these truths. So we have to press in to come to a place where we're living in that place with him. Heaven is your home. And so if you're struggling with earth stuff and you're struggling with paying bills and doing the stuff, can I suggest to you there's an easier way? Once God taught me this, it's been a journey. I can't say, you know, there was a push, but it's been years and years. He started teaching me like a little, here a little, there a little, here a little, there a little. But the more that I understand, the more my life went from the most abject failure, flop, bad results, screwed up mess, strongholds, garbage, luggage, baggage. And it went from that to learning how to walk in victory in pretty much every area. Does that mean I don't have trials? No, I have some, but I figured out they aren't trials to me because they're in the earth system, and that ain't my system. The problems that happen on earth are not my problem. This service is not my service. My house is not my house. It's his. He's letting me steward it. So if there's a problem in my house, that ain't my problem. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but everything I have, everything I am, is his. Even all my screw-ups, all my mistakes, if I blow it. You know what? Here's a revelation God wants you to have. God wants so much for you to have this. God loves you with full knowledge of all your errors and mistakes, all your issues and problems. Every time you blow it, even that habit, you've tried and tried and tried and tried and tried and failed and failed and failed and failed. God already knew all that. He told me one day, I had a strong hold in my life. And it was a strong hold. And I tried everything I knew. I tried warfare. I tried fasting. I tried commanding. I tried, you name it, I tried it. Nothing freed me from this stronghold. You know, I think the Lord, you know, he wanted to teach me some things. It took me 8 years. But this is one thing. He was teaching me how to be free from condemnation and guilt during that season. Well, it's pretty hard when you're screwing up all the time, you know, because you're beating yourself up. You're feeling like I'm not good enough. Well, of course we weren't. That's why he had to die. Hallelujah. See, the judgment of God, the New Testament doesn't mean that God doesn't judge sin. God has never changed on this matter. But what you got to understand is that he judged sin on the cross. It's as though this massive judgment was aiming right at me, this massive ball of wrath for every screw-up I ever had, every sin I ever committed, every wrong word I said, every attitude, every criticism, every crummy attitude of the heart. This judgment is coming right at me, and suddenly Jesus stands right in front and takes it all in his body. So will there not be a judgment at the end? Of course there will. Because guess what? A lot of people didn't receive Jesus to stand in the gap for them. And they will have serious judgment. And there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And there is a real hell where the fire never goes out. It says the worm never dies. It's a miserable thing. But see, for us who believe, we are to learn. And this is something he told me when he was teaching me about getting free from this stuff. He said, I knew on the cross that there would be some people who would love me and would spend their whole life trying to get free and would never get free. And I died for him anyway. And I knew some people would take 8 years, 20 years, 5 years. He said, but I died for them because I love them and they love me. You got to understand the truth of the cross. Now, does that mean we just give it up and go live in sin? No, of course. We want to live a holy life because guess what a holy life will get you? Freedom from the devil. It's not the judgment of God that we're so scared of now, because God wants you to know, God loves me even on a day when I'm screwing up. I could even, you know, I try not to. I want to live a holy life. I want to be free from strongholds. I hate sin. I want to live free. I do actually press into God. If I see an issue, man, I go after it with everything I've got. I don't want to have wrong attitudes. I don't want to have strongholds. But God has taught me that the reason we do that is when we have that stuff, we actually invite the devil to come in and beat us up. So our journey should be one of growing more holy in our outward manifestation. But holiness isn't just outward manifestation. Holiness comes from the inside as your insides are changed. When you go into the throne room and you have a holiness encounter with a holy God, you'll come out sometimes and go, oh my gosh, something happened. I'm different. That attitude, that's gone. That thing, it's gone. What happened? Where did it go? In the presence, it left. God freed us from it and suddenly we're free. Suddenly there's been an exchange. That exchange between the bride and Jesus, what happened? They traded places. Whenever you bring something to Jesus and said, listen, I got some garbage here. It's me again, Lord. And you bring it to the cross and say, can I give this to you too? And instead receive your holiness. I'm going to give you my junk and receive your forgiveness. I'm going to give you this stronghold and receive your deliverance. Might it take more than 3 days? Sure, it might. You just keep bringing it. Lord, I'm coming boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Does it mean I'm not trying to get free? No, I'm trying to get free more than anybody because I don't want to give the devil a stronghold. And the more free you get, it gets really hard for the devil to get one over on you because you know too much. Because we know the truth in our inmost parts. God wants us to know truth in our inmost parts because it removes all the devil's ammunition. Literally today, I was a person so bound by guilt and condemnation, I walked around with my head down all the time. I felt like I was always, and I was living pretty good, actually. I was fasting and praying and seeking the Lord and doing all this stuff, and I always felt guilty because it's a spirit. And I thought that's what God thought of me. That's a bondage and a lie. And when I got free, I realized God loves me. He loves me. I'm his kid. If you have a kid, do you love your kid even when they're not pretty? Of course you do. Do you love them when they screw up and they spill something on they get a big stain on your carpet? Hopefully you still love them. You don't love them less. What if you had a kid with special needs and they couldn't help it and they spill every day? Do you love them less? Of course not. It's your kid. And you don't love them because of their behavior. You love them because they're your kid. And that's how God is. And if you get this, listen, he said in his word, he has forever made holy those who are being sanctified. He has forever made perfect. Actually, I quoted wrong. He has forever made perfect those who are being made holy. So while you're being made holy, listen, holy is an outworking of something on the inside. It comes from when you connect to God in the throne room, right? And what happens, so this journey, while you're on the way of being changed, God will use you to raise the dead because you don't raise the dead because you're becoming good enough to do it. God, a gift is never because you earned it. He earned it. God never uses you because of your righteousness. You don't have any except what he gave you. He uses you based on your legal standing in heaven. Your righteousness is actually his. He heals people through you because of his righteousness. He prophesies through you because of his righteousness. We don't really have any except what he gave us. And so when you get a hold of the reality of God's plan, it is a covenant standing that you have in heaven. And the devil can come and say, your behavior is bad. Yeah, what's your point? I'm working on it. How about you? Yeah, you're right. You're right, devil. You're right about that. I should correct that. Let me go to God right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I see I got a flaw. Oh, Lord, would you deliver me? Show me what is the false belief system I believed. How did I get into that? Where did that come in? Help me to get free. You know, you don't just accept it. I don't like the system, by the way. There's a system in Christianity that says, well, if I confess my sins, he'll forgive me. So I can just do that same sin over and over, and I'm not even trying to change. And every time I go to him, he'll forgive me. So we're good. Well, I don't think that's the best system either. Yes, he will forgive you, but the better system is to go and say, what is that? Why did I act like that? Where did that come from? Why was I crabby? Or why did I have an attitude toward that person? Why did I get upset with that person? That's not how you feel. Well, guess what? There's usually a reason. It's usually somewhere in your history, and God's so gracious, he'll say, let's just unhook that here. Let me show you. Usually, boom, it's pretty quick. And then guess what? You're free now to move on without that thing. And over the course of time, your soul and flesh actually begin to look and outwardly manifest. Because here's the problem. You have this treasure in earthen vessels. There is this great exchange. You legally, in heaven, spiritual law, legally, the minute you were born again, you were given covenant standing in heaven. You understand? So if you show up in heaven, angels stand like, yes. You got to understand who you are. But while we're on the way, we have to learn how to steward that and, frankly, how to live on that. Usually when I teach about spirit, soul, and body, what I'm teaching is that your spirit man is the real you. And if you're seeing you looking in the mirror of all your faults and all your flaws and all your stuff, you're never going to see who God is in you. And he'll never get to do all that he wants to do in your life. God's looking for a people that are wholly his. And you can't get it lightly. I'm telling you, the way to get this stuff is by complete dedication. The half-hearted will never enter into the whole covenant. He's done it for them. He's given it to them, and he loves them. But most people are too selfish. I'm just being brutally honest. If we want all that he has, we need to give him all that we are. And if you're 1 foot in and 1 foot out, you'll never really encounter the fullness of God. But God wants you to. God does not want you to have less than anyone else in Christianity. God wants every one of his kids to be fully used in who they are. He wants to manifest himself through you. What would happen if we could learn how to get out of the way and let him say what he wants to say? Do you know that there's times when I have to prophesy stuff that makes no sense? You know how I do it? I do it by faith. I've been doing this long enough. I know that's you. I'll say it. It makes no sense. And I don't figure it out until somebody comes and says, oh, you know why you said that? Because of this whole backstory. Oh, well, thank you for clarifying that, because otherwise I might have thought I was just nuts. You know, there's an interesting scripture that says, who is so blind as my prophet whom I send? I think that's what that means. A lot of times he gives stuff to us. It is by faith that we deliver it the best we can. If we're not sure, we say, excuse me, I saw this thing. You know, I'm just going to put it before you. I'm not, you know, you don't have to like come, oh, so says the Lord. Don't do that. Just don't. You don't need to be silly about it. Just go to the person and say, you know, I don't really get this, but I had this picture. Does that mean something to you? And just leave it. Because God wants to use every one of us, and every one of us will manifest God in different ways according to our calling and our gifting and our vessel. But the issue is, if we're trying to do this all in the flesh, we will fail utterly. And if we can learn the process of getting out of the way and allowing him to say what he wants, when he wants, even if it's not popular, even if it's not what we would have said, there's a lot of times when he makes me say things I wouldn't have said. You know, I'll say something and it'll be like, ooh, that was a little rough, hallelujah. But I joke about it. People say, you shouldn't joke about it. You know, it's like, oh, get over it. That's what I do. But God says something, we deliver it as it is, and we leave it out there. Because you know what I've learned? God knows what he's talking about. And he knows who he's talking to, and sometimes when he says it's something rough, sometimes it's because that person can't hear anything but rough. There's some people that just don't get hints. You know, some people will not get it if you say it gently. There's some people, you just got to say it. And then you're like, oh, I can't believe I just said that. I can't believe you just made me say that, Lord. But see, we're here, our job. So think about your gifting and your calling. Some of you might not know it. And every single person in here has a completely different calling. But your job on the earth is to find and fulfill the mission that God has placed you here for. You're here for a reason. You are here on this planet for a reason. And guess what? You're here on the planet at this time for a reason. This moment in eternity is intersecting with a moment on earth where we're seeing a big shift. We're seeing a big, big shift in the spirit, and we're seeing a big shift in the earth. And the body of Christ is running around, wah, because they don't know how to deal with it, because they're looking at the earth. Okay? So we have to get our focus on what are you doing right now, God? What are you saying right now? Because now is a pivotal time where God is going to begin to release stuff at a greater level, but he's asking his soldiers to step up, learn how to do it, and do it, and stop whining. You know, just stop whining. Okay, that was a little rough. Hallelujah. But God wants us to get over ourselves. It's not about ourselves. The true kingdom business has to do with bringing his kingdom on the earth. It doesn't matter what position we are in the army. It doesn't matter if people know who we are. It doesn't matter if we're popular or hated. None of that is going to matter on that day. There's one thing that'll matter. Did I do what I was put here to do? Did I say it right? Did I get it accurate? Did I pull any punches? Did I deliver the goods? Everybody's job is different. But the Bible says you are God's workmanship, his work of art, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God prepared in advance that you should walk in them. You have a blueprint. You have a document. I remember years ago sitting in church and I saw this document come from heaven. It was rolled up like a roll and I thought, what is this? And they were ordination papers from heaven. Okay, I didn't know anything about that. God unsealed them and they went into me. Now that's strange, but if you don't believe in that stuff, read Ezekiel. There was a weird guy. Thank God I'm not Ezekiel. Man, he had to do some rough stuff. But the point of it is, there are papers with your name. There are documents in heaven. And you know what? If we're so busy doing Christianity the way we learned, we'll miss the entire point of what our work of art, our workmanship, our piece, our part, our word, our book, our song. We'll miss the entire point of why we're here and what we're doing. So it is through fellowship and communion with him that we gain. Listen, the only way you get this stuff is by gaining access. We have to go into the throne room. We have to hang out with him. We have to listen to him. Tell your flesh to shut up and sit down and spend time. Listen, your flesh will argue with you. Oh, you don't have time to do that today. You know what? I'm making time. It doesn't have to be 10 hours, but you need to spend some time. And you need to discipline your flesh. Your flesh is like a screamy, bratty baby. Your flesh will tell you all kinds of things. I want this, I want that, I can't do this, I promised I'd go do it. Shut up, sit down, we're doing this. And it will be hard at first because you're training your flesh, you're disciplining it, just like a bratty kid, right? Did you ever see a bratty, let's say 12 or 13-year-old, and you're thinking, why doesn't that parent deal with that kid? You know, the parent's like pretending they don't exist. Kids having a tantrum thinking you're told for that, and if they don't deal with it, I want to, you know. Well, the fact is, you have to deal with your own flesh that way, and you have to deal with the devil that way. Because the devil has one purpose in life. There's a war on, but a lot of people misunderstand what that war is. You know what God wants? It says he wants to show his manifold wisdom to the principalities and power by the church, through the church. He wants to use you. He wants to use you. He wants to use me to show himself off. And say, oh yeah, how about that? How about that devil? You tried to get them and they wouldn't yield. You tried to make them selfish and they said no. You tried to make them break the fast and they said no. You tried to make them be too shy to deliver that word and they said, you know what, I don't care about me. I care about God's kingdom, so I'm going to do it anyway. God wants to show himself off and there comes a place where you have to say no to everything and everybody and just go with God. There are some things God will let you do in community and that's great. But there comes a day, if you're maturing, where you have to stand your own ground and deal with the stuff and say no and grow up and say, we're not doing that anymore. I don't care if I don't get my way. You know, Andrew Womack has this amazing teaching. I try to listen to it about every 6 months. And the reason I don't give it out a lot is I think people would get mad at me because they would think I was trying to tell them something. But the first person that listens to it is me, and it's called Self-Centeredness, the Source of All Grief. And it is an amazing, amazing expose of what self-centeredness does to you. Because all grief, all pride, it's all because it's all about me. And the honest truth is that's our nature that we have to overcome. That's our flesh nature, right? That's what we have to overcome. And you can't really do it yourself, but as you begin to see it in yourself, you go to God and say, listen, I got to be changed. You got to change my heart. I remember being, knowing I was called to ministry, knowing I was already used by the Holy Ghost. I'd seen healings, I'd seen all kinds of stuff, and realizing it was like God pulled a curtain back, and I realized I am a selfish slob. was years ago. I was sitting on the porch and it was like, oh my gosh, I am so selfish. I am selfish. And, oh wait, let's just be brutally honest. Wait, I want to be used because then people will think I'm spiritual. Oh my God, really? That's your heart? It stinks. And the honest truth is we have to dig and say that's not acceptable to the Father. The very nature of Jesus Christ was to always do what was best for the Father, not what was best for himself. His very nature was to do what was best for the Father and his children, even if it cost him his life. And the very nature of any true ministry, whatever kind, whatever level, I don't care if you're feeding people, I don't care if you're writing something, I don't care if you're blogging, I don't care what your ministry is. The true nature of all real ministry, ministry means serve. Minister means servant. And Jesus said, I didn't come to be served. And who had a right to be served but the Most High? He laid aside all his reputation, said, I'm not coming to be served or have people blow a horn and give me all the glory. I'm not even going to tell them who I am. Only people will get it by the Spirit. They'll get it because they're asking God. The people who have all this intellectual knowledge, they won't even get it. Most of them won't even get it. They won't even know who I was. Paul, with all his intellect, Paul was probably one of the smartest people alive at that time, probably knew more about the covenant of anybody alive. He'd studied his whole life. He was prepared to be a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and he still didn't get it. He didn't know who Jesus was and was going around killing his servants. Brilliant, but dumb as a post. So how does somebody get it? Because somewhere in their heart, they're saying, God, show me the truth. Somewhere, I believe, Paul was saying, show me truth. And so God said, all righty, you may not like it. Might be blinding to you there, Paul. You may have to give up all your entire life work and all your studies, your entire standing in the Pharisee community. You have to give up everything you ever knew. And by the way, they're going to beat you bloody every city you go to. What was the first thing God said? Remember he sent Ananias, he said, go lay hands on this guy. And he's like, no, I heard about him. Nope. I've heard about him. He wants to persecute the saints. And God said, I will show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Paul never flinched. He didn't stand back. He didn't say, oh, he got beat up in one town. He didn't, well, I'm not doing this again. Most of us would say, okay, that was good. I ain't doing that anymore. Not Paul. Okay, I'm going again. They said they're going to kill you in the next town. That's all right. I'm ready to die if I have to, but I'm going. Because he had converted his heart. When you got born again, your heart wasn't fully converted, was it? Mine wasn't. We still have selfishness. We're still in it for me. A lot of people come to God out of what they can get out of it. God wants true disciples that say, listen, if I have to die for this thing, if it will build your kingdom already. If they beat me up, okay. We don't want to be beat up. I don't like getting beat up. I don't like stubbing my toe. But we have to come to a place. Are we in this for us or are we in this for him and his kingdom? Seek first the kingdom. Do you understand that when Paul said, if you believe in your heart, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart, God has raised him from the dead, that shall be saved. You understand that in the people he was writing to, were Roman citizens, it was illegal to call anybody Lord but Caesar, and that penalty was death. It wasn't, oh, just say this little prayer, and everything will be fine for you. No, call him Lord. Go ahead on. Go right on. Go get in Caesar's face and say, I've got another Lord. See what happens. They'll have you in the arena with lions before it's all over. See, we have accepted a milquetoast Christianity. You probably didn't think you were coming tonight to hear this, but I'm just telling you the truth. In this day, we can no longer afford to be in it for us. And here's the secret. When you live that way and you say, I don't care what it costs me. I don't care if they beat me up. I don't care if it costs me my life. Give me grace, Jesus. I have asked personally. I don't mind dying for you, but make it quick. I don't mind dying for you, but let them shoot me in the back and I don't even know what's coming. Hallelujah. I don't mind dying for you, but don't let them torture me. Hallelujah. But if they do, don't let me blow it. Hey, let your grace be upon me to still be like the guy. Remember the guy who was burning in a fire, his body's on fire. He's being burned at the stake. And while his body is literally melting and falling off, he's saying, accept Jesus Christ. He's your only hope. Accept Christ. He wouldn't quit. What was that? That was grace in action. God is looking for a people. See, the reason the first disciples did what they did was they were wholly dedicated. Some of us said, well, it doesn't work. It doesn't work that way for me. Well, have you dedicated your life wholly? I know this isn't like a message everybody wants to hear, but you know what? In this day, there will be a people who raise up, and guess what? They're going to look a whole lot like Jesus, but to look like him, you got to act like him. To look like him and to carry what he carried, it's an exchange. The exchange is all you have for all that he has. And here's what I found out. If you're giving God bits and pieces, you know what you get? Bits and pieces. Because as a man soweth, so shall he reap. I'm not talking about money. Your life I'm talking about. Your heart. Your commitment. If it costs you. Some people have lost family members. It's divided them from family members. But Jesus said he didn't want us to love family members more than him. He said it. Yes, he did. Peter said, we left everything to follow you. Remember what he said, get 100 times as much in this age and the age to come, eternal life. What I found is the deeper the level of commitment that we offered him, this is the exchange. If I give him everything and I don't try to run it, manage it, own it, it's mine. Nothing's mine. What did Paul say? Having all things but possessing nothing, right? Right? It's like I have everything. You know why? All of heaven is mine. You know why? All of mine is heaven's. See, I couldn't go to God with boldness and demand all of heaven if I hadn't given him everything. That's why some people can't go to God in faith, because they know good and well they're holding back pieces from him. And I know I did it when I was young. They give him pieces, but they hold some back, and they give him this, but not that, and this, but not that. That's called idolatry. I know this is a tough message, but we have caught people in this room, a lot of you have cried out to move in the greater things. You've cried out to walk in the glory. You've cried out to carry the presence, maybe to heal the sick, maybe to open blind eyes. That is not withheld from us, but listen, how we operate in heaven is to give heaven all that we are. That's the great exchange. All I am for all you are. And what am I giving him? A hunk of junk, right? All my mess, all my fleshy nonsense, all my mistakes, all my personality stuff, I'm bringing it all and throwing it down, all anything I had, anything I own, and saying, this is, what did Paul say? It's rubbish for the excellency of gaining Christ. Then what do you have, all of heaven? God on your side, fighting your battles for you. I don't have to fight anymore. God fights my battles. He knows. When I have trouble, I don't even deal with it anymore. God, what are we doing about this? We meaning you. And my job is I'll just stay in the center. If you want me to intercede, I'll do that. If you want me to proclaim, I'll do that. But otherwise, guess what? It's you. So I don't ever have to be afraid. Ever. I never have to be nervous. I never have to worry. Never. Did you understand? Think about it. I never have to have fear. But that was not always the case. God had to teach me how to live his way. I believe it is a different approach to Christianity. It may not be a popular message. I talk a lot. I have a set back there called The Great Exchange. I go into a lot of detail about how to do this stuff. God wants you to have all of heaven. He wants you to have all that heaven allows. He wants you blessed. He wants you victorious. He wants you speaking with such power. You know, I've seen people. Have you seen somebody with great power and they make one statement? It's done. Right? Eyes open. New heart. Back healed. And what's happened is they're standing in a certain place that they've learned how to stand in God. And they're operating from a certain realm. It's not their flesh doing it. And if you look at them and go, oh, God just has gifted them because he likes them. Well, he may like them, but the fact is they've learned how to operate in a certain place with him, a level of submission, a level of humility where it ain't about me, it's about you. And so that is what I believe the great exchange is. I believe that God is, he's offering us all of heaven on earth, his power in its fullness, greater works in Jesus. That's what he's offering. But we can't just say, what Christians I think are famous for, and I'm not trying to disrespect anybody, but I've been around a while and talked to a lot of people. What a lot of people do is they say, well, he promised this and I want that and I'm going to move in this and I'm called to that. Okay. Wonderful. Have you given him what he wants? Have you wholly dedicated? Have you wholly submitted? Have you dealt with your stuff? We all have it, right? So, Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you. I feel like I was talking to people who get it and who are crying out for more. They want more, and they know that this is a day. I feel like this is a day, Father, where you're offering the more to a people to walk in a power that we have not walked in. We've read about it in the scriptures, and we've said, I want that. And over the years, you've supplied a few people here and there, the John G. Lakes, you know, William Branham, people that moved in such power that people were stunned, really stunned. So we know it's possible, but Father, I believe in this day you are desiring for the body of Christ to rise up to a new level. There will be a remnant of the bride that will stand forth and release the word of God, but it won't just be words. It will be the very power and manifestation of the Lord, the very presence of heaven released on the earth. And how that presence released is through our mouth as we speak what the Holy Spirit gives us to speak. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, so much.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.